Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of 2 Corinthians, God's Messengers. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 15, Integrity of God's Messengers. What was the motivation of America's revolutionary leaders that caused them to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their personal honor? Well, just look at the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. The phrase, the laws of nature and of nature's God, 8 words, that was the driving force for those men. The key to their calling was integrity. But why? They needed the colonists to follow them the whole way into the revolution. Integrity, it's the measure of private life as compared to public life. What you are when other people see you and interact with you, does it match what you are at home, and especially when you are by yourself? Consistent, no matter the context, no matter what the context is. Someone wrote, integrity is what you are when no one is watching. And integrity is anchored in the fear of God. God's messengers, what is integrity for Christians? How do you recognize if a Christian has it? What Christians are is to be manifest in what they do. Let me give you 4 qualities from our text for this session that reveal Christian integrity. They're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. First, God's messengers are free of deceit. Look at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 11. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes, preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you hear a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. This is the image of a father preparing a daughter for marriage. What is the issue? He is concerned that she be corrupted by her convictions. From her convictions. The simplicity that is in Christ. How does the enemy accomplish that corruption? Well, it's a 3-pronged attack. A different Jesus than what was preached. A different spirit than what was received. A different gospel than what was accepted. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7 to see the enemy in action. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. He changed focus from God to self. Second, God's messengers are pure in motive. Look at verses 5 through 9. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. For even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted, because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. The context of this point is Paul defending his apostleship. And why? Well, he persecuted the church. It would be easy for him to be viewed as inferior. Maybe he is not a gifted speaker, but he knows the truth. The manifestation of integrity is not in outward appearance, his preaching style, or however he delivers the message, but in character of ministry. Paul humbled himself in order to serve. There was criticism that he was in it for fame and money. So what did Paul do? He was supported by other churches in order to minister there. And then third, God's messengers are fervent with love. Verses 10 through 12. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. Paul boasts of the fruit God is producing. Not that he was producing, but Jesus. Much fruit in thoroughly pagan Corinth. The apostle brags about it to all the churches. What provoked the boasting? Is it self-promotion or agape love? Look, it's always a fine line that we walk in our motivation. Is it self-promotion or is it agape love? Bragging on God, a result of fervent love. Fervent love for the brethren. Fervent love for co-laborers. And then fourth, God's messengers are wise by discernment. Look at verses 13 down to verse 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Discernment is crucial for the Christian life. And why? Well, look at verse 4 again. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different gospel which you have not received, or a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. We are always vulnerable to false teachings. Spiritual warfare we're talking about here. If Satan can't stop a person from becoming a Christian, he will work to prevent them from being fruitful as a Christian. He doesn't care. Either way, God's work is not being done. False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Satan himself does it. With Eve, for example, as we looked at. Often those used by the enemy appear to be very godly. Transform into ministers of righteousness. Believers are always under attack. Integrity is our protection. Free of deceit. Pure in motive. Fervent in love. And wise by discernment. Both publicly and privately. You have a great day.